Hey, this is Pastor Ricky Ortiz at MetaChurch, and I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting our ministry. If you'd like to learn more about MetaChurch, you can visit us online at meta.church, and we're praying this message inspires you and encourages you to pursue your relationship with Jesus. By show of hands, or again, using your voice to make this exciting, who here thought 2018 was a good year? Your own life? Okay, good. Good, overwhelming majority, that's good. It's okay if there's like a few bad years in the midst. But 2018 was a good year, and it was a great year for our church. It really was such an incredible season, if you will, for what we had to do and where we had to go. And as you saw in the video, a year ago today, this Sunday, was our first Sunday in this space. And so trying to navigate, you know, a space and figuring that out and setting up church and building out our team and the things that we have today are the things that we take not for granted, but the things that we just assume as normal or part of our regular routine are the things that a year ago we were trying to figure out and resolve or try to, you know, answer in our own kind of practical way. And today is a great day because it's the first Sunday of 2019. We have a lot of great things that we can celebrate. We have a lot of great things we can look forward to. And so this is going to be a day where we get to celebrate in the midst of one another and in the midst of God what he did and what we believe he's going to do, you know, moving forward. And one of the reasons that I think I'm excited about this is because I love to think about the future. I think about the future a lot. In fact, if you were to kind of measure how many times I think about the future, I probably, in a calculated way, not just like, you know, what am I going to eat for lunch, but in a strategic or calculated way, I probably think about the future in any given day anywhere between 15 to 20 times a day. You know, like actually thinking about not just what am I doing tomorrow, but how does this decision affect this and what happens down the road in this regard. And I do that all of the time. And so for me to dream, to envision, to kind of plan out or to create a future, if you will, is one of the most exciting things that I do literally on a daily basis, multiple times per day. And so it's just part of my nature. But I think sometimes it's easy in the midst of the day-to-day to lose sight of what could be or what's to come, especially when you like go home, like us, many of us went away for the Christmas holiday or the New Year, and then you come back like the day before, and so you just got to kind of jump right into it, and you have work back at it, email back at it, you know, life back at it, bills back at it, and so you're trying to figure out, get that credit card statement, like I spent too much at Christmas, I shouldn't have done that, so now I've got to hustle hard and try to make things up and figure my life out, and it's easy, even at the start of a new year, to lose sight of what could happen or what God wants to happen a month, 2 months, 3 months from now. And so today, I'm excited to kind of share that with you because what we believe or what we expect in 2019 is going to be fresh. It's going to be new. It's not going to be repetitive. It's going to be something exciting. It's going to be something deliberate and something intentional for where God wants to take us as a people and as a church. So I'm super excited for it, and I'm really looking forward to what we have to do. But before we get ahead of ourselves, and before we run into the future, I think it's really good and appropriate to look back. You see, this is kind of like a little nugget that I'll give you here, but sometimes we make some bad decisions running ahead of ourselves. Sometimes we make some poor decisions going too far in front, and the reason we make bad decisions or get ourselves in trouble is because we don't look behind us to see where we've come from. And sometimes we arrive to a destination that we don't like, and it could have been resolved if we simply would have looked at the path we had taken to get to where we are today to see if this is the path we want to remain on. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, I could preach a whole nother message just that alone. But we are moving forward in a way. And so in order for us to move forward, in order for us to assess, hey, is this place where we're going, the direction we're headed, is this what we like? Is this where we want to go? Is this where we want to be as a community, as individuals, as a church? Sometimes, or most times, it's beneficial to look back where you come from and say, yeah, that same trajectory, that same path, that same direction is the direction we want to continue in moving forward as a church. And so here we go. With that in mind, I want to kind of look back on 2018. I want to do a mix of sharing some scriptures, some numbers, some stories, and kind of using all of the whole kind of bit of it, and there's no way to tell an entire story of a year's time in a 30 to 35 minute conversation or talk or sermon, if you will. Some pastors try, but then they end up going for like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and that ain't my MO. So you're lucky. Consider yourselves blessed this new year. So I'm going to share some highlights. And what I'll share with you today, I want you to know, while there are important parts of the story, there are fun parts of the story, this is not the entire story. Right? These are just kind of snapshots and pieces of what God did in our church and what God has done in your lives. And so before we jump into that, I want to kind of begin with the scripture that I was reminded of out of the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk was a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he had a message that God had delivered to him to share, and God was proclaiming in a time of really desolation, a place, a moment in their stage as a society, as a nation, where things felt hopeless or didn't seem like any sort of redemption was going to be possible. God spoke into that nation and spoke hope into those people. And there was a scripture that stood out while I was reading that a couple months ago that really kind of resonated with where we are today as a church. And it comes from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. This is what God speaking through the prophet said. Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. In so many ways, this is how Krista and I feel. You know, that what is taking place, what is happening is what we didn't know to expect 2 years ago. You've got to think, you know, Metachurch is really only about a year and a half old. And in a lot of ways, we're just learning how to run without falling. We still wear diapers because we still make mess of ourselves. And so that's kind of the life stage of where we're at. But 2 years ago, what is happening in our midst, what's taking place in our midst, is what we would have dreamed about and maybe wished for, but wouldn't have actually believed that someone would have shared it with us. The stories of transformation, the steps of faith that have been taken, you know, the impact that's being made in not just your life, but in the lives of people who are connected to you guys. These are the things that excite us. These are the things that motivate us. And this is the stuff that, again, we could have wished for, but we had no real reason to believe 2 years ago when it was me, Krista, our daughter, and if we wanted a fourth person, we would count our dog, and we had $330 to start a church. And so here we are, and we think, wow, the fact that I get to sit in this room and in this space with you guys, the fact that somewhere in the world, someone is listening to my voice and celebrating with us what God is doing. It just blows my mind. And so I look at the scripture and I think, look around the nations, look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. And so this kind of captures what we're going to talk about throughout the whole of the day. And I want to kind of separate what we talk about in maybe three different groupings or three areas. And the first area that I want to start with is this area of life change. Because let's be honest, right? Well, maybe for some of you, you go to church because that's what you're supposed to do. But I'll tell you this, I didn't start a church because that's what you're supposed to do. I started a church, we started a church, our family committed to starting this church because we believe God wanted to change people's lives, including ours. And so what we're here for, what we do, why we do it is about life change. And so if there was no life change, you had all this great stories for a year, but zero life change, it'd be like, okay, cool, that was fun, that was good, but that's not what we came here for. And so I want to start with this first area of life change, and I'm going to give you some numbers, okay? So here's the first number I want to share with you, 880, a big number. You probably have no idea what it means. That's okay. This number is a conservative estimate of the number of hours volunteered by you guys in 2018. 880 hours volunteered, conservatively, because I'm not going to exaggerate. A lot of pastors exaggerate. They like to take whatever the number is, add 20% to it. I'm like, why? That's what you do. It's not what I do. So 880. If we want to add 20%, that would bump us up over 1,000, just in case you want to figure it out. But 880 hours that you guys serve to set up, to host people in your homes, to encourage, to be a part of something like a baptism event, to commit to investing and believing in what's taking place every single week in and at Metachurch. This wasn't just me. In fact, what I chose to do was remove, because I don't take a salary from the church, so technically all of my hours are volunteer. So I didn't add anything that I contribute. I just wanted this to be about you, your contribution, your stories, your journeys, your investment, and that you guys believe in this so much that collectively you were willing to commit over 880 hours to make this happen, to be a part of the Meta story. Awesome. Now, I don't know where else in the world other people give 880 hours for no real reason other than a paycheck, right? We don't commit that much of our time to something that we don't have a financial reward or incentive to. Maybe video games. There's some guys that I've seen their thumbs in the carpal tunnel, and I just know, like, you need to cut back on the PlayStation, my man. But 880 hours, it's incredible, it's phenomenal. And it's a big number, but it's not the biggest number you'll see today. So here's the next number I want to share with you. The number's 4. And this number represents baptisms, the number of people who were baptized this year or last year at Meta Church. And the reason why this is significant and the reason why I love this number is because this is just the cusp of what we're anticipating or what we're expecting. But more importantly, these are four people who raised their hand, who went out to a beach in front of a bunch of strangers, dunked themselves in the, or allowed me to dunk them in the ocean, and then came up, threw their hands up in the air and said, boldly, I am committed to following Jesus with my life. And they wanted the world to know about it. It's even on video. So it wasn't just there for the people who saw it that day. It's there for whoever wants to see it from now and forevermore. The people said, my life has been transformed, not by a church, but by Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know, I don't care if they're strangers, I don't care if they're family, I don't care if they're friends, I don't care if it's my church, I don't care if it's some random place that took an hour and a half to get to out of the beach, but I want people to know that my life is committed to Jesus. Mm-hmm. The next number is the smallest number we'll share with you. It's the number two. And it's the number two for the two people who gave their lives to Jesus this year. Andrea, who's hanging out in Boston this weekend, and then my daughter Gia, who in 2018 recognized there was a need for a meaningful, substantive, authentic relationship with Jesus, and they surrendered themselves to Jesus. Not because I told them, not because my wife made them, but because they said, I have a need for a relationship with Jesus, and that's what I want. And again, I look at all of this, and I think this is just the beginning. This is just the cusp. But listen, two is two more than I expected to have in 2018 because I wasn't planning on trying to connect with unbelievers. We were focused on building a team of people who are committed to starting a church. And typically, you do that with people who follow Jesus already. So the fact that we had two, that's a 200% increase over what I expected to have. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's incredible. And when you look at the sum of life change, when you look at the whole of what's taking place, and it's kind of, in a sense, convenient that I ended on this number because it reminds me of what the prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 4. He said this, or God speaking to him said this, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Right. Let me frame the context, okay? Israel was in the process of rebuilding a temple, a house for the Lord that had been destroyed. And it was going to be much smaller than what they wanted, much smaller than what they expected, much smaller than what they were familiar with. Sounds a lot like Meta. Most of us have been to church experiences or contexts that are bigger, that are more kind of polished or more presentable or more kind of regulated. And we've been to experiences where our small groups are bigger than our Sunday gatherings. And we've had that as our perspective for what a church experience, not necessarily what it should be, but what it's been. And yet God spoke into that moment. God spoke into that place in history. God speaks into our place of history and says, do not despise these small beginnings, the two, because I rejoice in seeing the work begin. Right, and 2018 was a year of beginnings. It was a year of starting the work. It was a year of planning. It was a year of preparation. It was a year of digging the trenches and kind of getting the footing in place so that when we build up, we can actually support what God has called us to build. And so this is our beginning, this is our story, and though we are small, though we were small throughout the whole of 2018, God had bigger plans than what we saw, which leads to this kind of next aspect or this next area of reach. And here's the first number I'll share with you, 2,358. It's 2,003, there should probably be an asterisk next to this number because this is an incomplete number. This is the number of podcast downloads from MetaChurch since September 1. Since September 1. We didn't have a whole year. But somehow, some reason, 2,358 sermons, which is kind of scary, was downloaded from somebody somewhere on the planet. So we had two people get saved. We had four people get baptized. And some reason, over 2,000 plus downloads were made of the podcast. I mean, it's just like, think about that. A church, quote, this small wouldn't necessarily, or you wouldn't expect, would have a reach this big. Mm-hmm. But this is nothing. Look at the next number. Crazy, right? Like, what is it? Everyone's looking like, whoa. This is the number of minutes viewed online of every Meta sermon this year. 27,772 minutes spent watching sermons through our Facebook and YouTube pages. I mean, think about how remarkable that is. I did the math because I know it's kind of hard to divide that by 60 and figure things out. It's about 500 hours spent watching meta sermons. 2020 for the whole year, for September, for the whole, not September 1, but since January 1 of 2018, or technically January 7, 2018, all the way through December 16th. 27,772 minutes watching me and Krista talk about Jesus, about God, about being connected. And if that weren't shocking enough, this next number might kind of help frame some things in perspective. It's the number 33. Because from what we've been able to identify, there have been at least people, there have been at least 33 countries represented where people have been watching or listening to metachurch sermons. Places in India that I don't have any connections to. But all across the whole of Africa, Tokyo, Japan, the Netherlands, Sweden, Belgium, Scotland, Northern Ireland, France, Spain, the Amazon jungle, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Canada. I mean, it's mind-blowing, guys. So we're sitting here and we're thinking about, okay, well, this is the room that we're in. This is the people that we're connected to. This is what God is doing through Meta Church. You know, everyone that I can see. But what we can't see is so much bigger. I mean, think about this. There wasn't a single Sunday in 2018 where we had more than 30 people at Meta Church. Yet somehow God extended our reach to over 30 countries in the world.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's shocking. It's startling. When you think of what God wants to do in and through Meta Church, and it reminds me again of another scripture that Zechariah used to kind of inspire the people. And I kind of changed the scripture a little bit, okay? It's Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. And where Zechariah spoke about Jerusalem, I inserted the word meta, our church. Okay? So I'm not changing scripture. I'm just changing an application of it. So no one get worried. Please do not let this go viral and start accusing me of heresy. And if you do, there's 33 countries that got my back. But here's what Zechariah wrote. He said this: people from nations and cities around the world will travel to Meta, and the people of one city will say to the people of another, come with us to Meta to ask the Lord to bless us. Let us worship the Lord of heaven's armies. I'm determined to go. Now, here's, you know, it's cute when you read that and think, wow, this, like, that's really inspirational. Maybe this is going to be our vision one day. But this is what's happening. The people from 33 different countries all over the world are viewing every single week, downloading podcasts, watching sermons, connecting to what's happening here. And then if you want to say, okay, well, what about the come let us go part? Every single week we have people from all over the place who are visiting with us. We have people from Florida. We have people from Georgia. We have people from Colorado, California. We have people from Washington. We had people visit last year from Australia, from England, from Wales, from South America. We had people visit literally from all over the country to come see what's happening here. Why? I don't know, other than the fact that they come back and say, this is where I wanted to come to worship. This is where I had to be to see what God was doing, to experience it for myself, to think about what's taking place here. I've heard about it. I've seen it online. A lot of these people are, most of them obviously are our friends and family, but they're observing and they're witnessing the change and the transformation that's taking place in your lives. And they're like, I got to come see it. I got to come witness it for myself. I need to take it in because I've heard about it, but I need to feel it. And so it's just, again, just one of these things that, like, when we zoom out, realize that what God has for us, that, yes, we have life change taking place here, but our reach isn't limited to what's happening here. Our reach extends beyond, and this isn't something God is speaking or foreshadowing for a time to come. This is what's taking place now. This is what's happening in our world today. And then that kind of moves me to this last area. And before I show the number, I'll just kind of preface it because I'm going to speak about the area of generosity. And one of the things that Chris and I were so committed to in starting the church is that we wanted our church to be known for its generosity. We wanted our hearts to translate into the culture, to permeate the culture of the people that we reach and the people that we build up. Because God has transformed us to be generous. God has changed who we are and what we do. And so we knew that in leading a church, this would be a critical, kind of a crucial component of what we do. And we kind of capture that value or that ideal through this idea of holding nothing back. That recognizing because God has given so much to us and he withheld nothing from us, that we look for every opportunity to give of our time, our energy, our resources, and our finances back to him. And that withholding of the finances is an area, it's an opportunity for us to express our gratitude and demonstrate our generosity. And so it's easy, in a sense, for Chris and I to live that way. It's a lot easier for us to talk about it and to lead you guys in that. But ultimately, no matter what we say, no matter how catchy the phrases are, no matter what we aim for, ultimately, you have to do that. If we're going to lead a generous church, then it's going to require the church being generous. And so we can talk about it all we want. We can model it all we want. But ultimately, it's up to the people to represent that. So quite honestly, this is the one aspect that in a lot of ways is most out of our control. It's most out of our ability to manipulate if we so desired. And so with that, here's kind of what I want to share with you. Here's the first number. It's 91. 91. And in 2018, 91 different people from different parts of the world gave something to MetaChurch. 91 people. Some of that's households. So like Eric and Brooke would be two people. Some of that's single people. Some of that is, well, I guess that's all the options. But 91 people. 91 individuals believed in what was happening here in a room of 20-some people so much so that they were willing to give to it, so much so that they were willing to sow something into it and say, hey, I want to support this in some capacity or another. And so 91 people went online, sent a check, did something, some manner to somehow get money to us, even though they didn't have a responsibility to, even though they weren't obliged to, even though we didn't ask them to. They just chose to do it out of the goodness of their hearts and out of the work that God's doing in them and the work that they believe God wants to do in us. 91 people. Here's the next number, $113,976. That was the total amount given to MetaChurch in 2018. Wow. Yeah, you can clap. Listen, I'll clap. Let me remind you, we started with $330. And this doesn't factor in what was given in 2017. And so if we were to add that in, we will have raised nearly $200,000 in less than 2 years. You guys, most of you, the exception of a handful, are millennials. You're not supposed to give. You're not supposed to do things that are meaningful. You're not supposed to make a difference. Right? That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
That's what the surveys say. Who takes these surveys? Has anyone ever met anyone that's been surveyed by Barna or anybody else? No, of course not. But somehow that's the barometer. Somehow that's the measure they use to evaluate our meaningful contributions. Yet you guys, the overwhelming majority of you guys, I should say the overwhelming majority of this is because of you guys. That $113,976 was given to MetaChurch. But honestly, this is nothing. Because this next number is the number that excites me. 15,625. This is the number MetaChurch gave away in 2018.
Right.
And if you're good at math, then you would recognize this is 14.8% of our total received. We gave away $15,625 in 2018. Now, if you clap for the 113, you better clap for this. Because again, listen, we can talk about holding nothing back, but it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to do it. And we're not just telling you to hold nothing back so that we can take your money. We're saying we're living this as a church and we're going to give money away. Mm-hmm. We're going to hold nothing back because God didn't hold anything back from us, clearly. Yeah. You say, okay, well, where did this go? Like, what, to who? Who got the money? I'm glad you asked. Here's the next slide. $10,655, this is my favorite, went to other church planting efforts around the world. So we, as a church plant in the most expensive city in the U.S., are financially supporting other church plants in other parts of the world. $10,655 went to other church plants. $2,014 is my second favorite, but not because it's second in order, but just because it's there. $2,014 went to benevolence, meaning that we gave to some people in need. We helped cover people's rent. We helped, you know, give gifts to people who, you know, maybe they didn't need gifts or maybe they didn't want gifts or maybe they didn't have gifts. It didn't matter the reason. We just felt like we wanted to be generous and kind to people. In fact, I'll share this because you wouldn't know this, but when I say the names, you will. We, because you gave, we as a church, in turn, were able to give Christmas gifts, financial like contributions to Atu and Harold, who help us every single week here in this building. And so we gave them a Christmas gift, just as a thank you. As a, hey, you help us so much, and this doesn't represent the amount that you help us, but this is the least that we can do, is to say thank you for how much you bless us, even though you're not a part of this church, even though you don't attend, even though you don't give. So we gave over $2,000 to support people, like I said, in some cases to pay rent, in other cases to be generous and provide a gift, in some cases to just kind of accommodate something or allow for someone to experience something. We gave away over $2,000, again, as a young church plant, when we could justify holding on to the money. Mm-hmm. We could justify keeping it for ourselves. Okay? This next number, 1,050, if you've been to LPP, a.k.a. Lexington Pizza Parlor, you'll appreciate this. But we gave $1,050 last year to Blake and his Special Spectators organization, his nonprofit. And if you don't know, Special Spectators is an organization that helps children with some of the children with terminal illnesses, some of them with really life-altering illnesses, experience like first-class college and professional-level game experiences. And what's cool is that as you know, we gave this amount, and we will continue to partner with Special Spectators. But that number represents about providing about 40 children with those experiences. So 40 kids were able to experience the experience of a lifetime at a professional or a collegiate sporting event because you gave. You may never meet them, you may never get to know their stories, but you know that you have an impact on their lives. $1,046 went to Cayuga Centers up on 133rd Street. And if you remember back in the summer where there was the big story, the national story about the migrant children who had been separated from their families, we gave over $1,000. Actually, we didn't give the $1,000. We went out and purchased a whole litany of supplies and toys and coloring books to provide for the 275 kids that were housed at that center so they had some activities and something to distract them while they were trying to figure out how they'd ever get back to their parents. And so we weren't just making an impact to kind of nameless, faceless kids somewhere in the world. We were making an impact on the lives of children right here in this neighborhood, yeah. Right here in our community, right here in our city. And then this last number, 860, is the amount that we gave in gift cards and donations to the teachers and the faculty at PS 198 right there on 95th and 3rd. The teachers, during Teacher Appreciation Month, if you remember, you were part of our team back in the spring during Teacher Appreciation Month or day, we wrote handwritten note cards thanking them for their investment in our neighborhood and our community by serving the children and their families. We gave them $10 Starbucks gift cards, no matter what their role or responsibility was, and it was just a simple way of saying thank you for being a part of our neighborhood and making it better. We didn't put in a Meta business card. We didn't put our website. We didn't say, okay, now come to church. We just said thank you. And we express gratitude through our generosity. All of this is made possible because you give. Every single week, every single month, every single time. This is what God is doing in our midst and through you. And if you had any part, if you gave a dollar, you had a part in this. If you gave $5, $5,000, or whatever the number amount is, you played a role in making all of this possible. And it just blows my mind that Chris and I, we get to lead a church that does this and believes in this and is willing to go to this length to make a difference in the lives of people, some who we know, some who we don't know, some who we will know. But it doesn't matter because God's love extends to every single person. Right. And God's grace and his compassion is beyond our ability to do it on our own, but God can accelerate it and God can multiply it. Mm-hmm. And this kind of brings me to the Christmas offering, which I'm sure some of you are curious about, because you're like, well, what happened with that? It's a great question. You guys are really good at setting up these questions for me. I just really appreciate it. But for a month, we talked about the Christmas offering, right? All in wonder, wonder in awe. What is God going to do? We've stood in awe of what God has done, and this should cause us to stand in awe of what God has done. So what is God going to do next? How is God going to show up? And if you remember, I shared, I didn't really have a goal. I didn't have an idea of what was going to come of it or what to expect. I just knew that God was inviting us to take great steps of faith, and that faith was going to be depicted through our generosity and through our giving. And last year, you know, we received $22,400. And it was just like startling. And I'll be honest with you, it was like, that was crazy, but I'm not banking on that. I'm not counting on that because this is different. That was then, this is now, and I'm not expecting that. I'm not measuring the success. In fact, I even said we're not measuring the success of this offering in finance, but in faith. And so God went to work in our lives, in your lives, in other people's lives who are watching or a part of, you know, the broader reach or audience of MetaChurch. And people started to give. And the money came in, and it came in, and it came in some more and some more. And it was just mind-blowing. And I didn't put this on a screen. I wrote it down on a piece of paper because I wanted to make sure I got it right. Jake, you read this. Sure, yeah, stand up.
All right. $23,796.08. Holy crap.
23. $23,796.08. Given by you, by others. Here's the mind-blowing thing. Last year we raised $22,400. This year we raised about $1,400 more than that. But last year, nearly 80% of the money we received through our Christmas offering came from people outside of MetaChurch. People who didn't attend here, people who didn't go here. This year, the startling thing about that number, $23,796.08, is that over 85% was given by the people in this room. I mean, it's just like crazy. Crazy. And the thing that excites me about this is not the money, it's you. It's your story. It's your sacrifice. It's your faith. It's your belief that, God, I'm going to give sacrificially. I'm going to give generously because I believe you're going to move in my life. I believe you're going to stir something new. I believe you're going to create more awe and more wonder. And so I'm responding in faith, God, and kind of putting my deposit on this thing. And I cannot wait to see you move. And what excites me is that already God has been responding to some of your gifts. That not for the church, but some of you have received pay raises already. Prayers that you were praying for have been answered. The provision that you were lacking at the end of 2018 has now been fulfilled, and you are living in it, or you're abiding in it, or you're walking in it, and that God is already on the move less than a month after you gave. This is why we worship. This is why we celebrate. This is what we thank God for. And it just reminds me of what David wrote in Psalm 145, because this is what, not just what David wrote, but this is the testimony of your lives. Verse 6 says this: "Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness, and they will sing with joy about your righteousness." You see, David's words are now your words. Because what God has done is indeed awe-inspiring. The movement, the work that he's created, the things that he's done, declare his greatness, and we get to speak that. We get to share that. You get to live it. This is the testimony of what God is doing in and through Meta. And the fact of the matter is, it's not going to be us. This is us. This is who we are. This is what we get to experience. This is what we get to see. And the fact of the matter is that this is just the beginning, as I mentioned. Because what God wants to do in our church and what God wants to do in your life in 2019 is greater than what we saw, experienced, or believed for in 2018. That what's to come is greater than what's taken place. That what's to be experienced is more meaningful, more significant, more triumphant than what happened or occurred in the past. And I love this because this is just, I mean, I look forward and I think about the future, right? And I think about what's going to happen. I think our generosity is going to increase. I mean, I think that's clear because so many of you have already taken that step. So I think our generosity is going to, the number we saw, going to be nothing. I think our reach is going to be expanded. 33 countries, wow, impressive, but nothing compared to what God's going to do this year. Yeah. 2,300 downloads in 4 months, okay, great. That's going to be 1 month at some point. Uh-huh. And it's not because I'm a great communicator or so-and-so is a great speaker or because our podcast art is really cool because it's not. It's just a picture of my face, and it's weird to me, but it's there. And so it's not because of that. It's not because something is so special or so anointed. It's because you're living your lives in pursuit of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in your heart. That's right. Yeah. That's why the reach will grow. That's why the generosity will increase. That's why the life change will multiply. Mm-hmm. Right. You see, Gia was just the first of many children that will come to know Jesus. Andrea was just the first of many adults who will come to know Jesus. The four of you who were baptized, Alex, Courtney, Andrea, Gia, those four who were baptized are just the first foreshadowing of the dozens of people who will be baptized in the days and months to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what God is doing and building in us and around us and among us. And I think this is going to be a year where we see our love increase. It's not just about the tangible, measurable things like finances and salvations and baptisms and minutes viewed. It's about the intangible things like expressions of love and meaning, about connections that are being built, about the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in your life and leading you in discernment and wisdom and in gifting and in insight and movement. It's about that change and that transformation and all those things that are going to take place in our lives. And as a church, this sets us up to move forward because we're going to continue to invest now in an intentional and a deliberate way in our neighborhood through community service. We're going to be involved in making a difference in people's lives in a tangible, tactile way. It's not just about the money we can give them and, okay, we're done, we did our part. It's about getting our hands dirty. And there's a specific way I'll share with you at the end today that's coming up that I think all of you would love to be involved in. But beyond that, we're not just talking about serving our neighborhood. We're going to continue to invest and multiply what we do with our children. Because we know that while we might have 2 or 5 kids coming today, in the days to come, it's going to be 10 or 12 or 20. And it's not just those 20 kids, it's their families and their extended families and those families' friends and the way that we serve them and the way that we love them and the way that we pour into them and the way that we cultivate a fondness for who Jesus is and what he wants to do in their lives at 4 years old, at 6 years old, at 9 years old is going to transform not just them, but their lives and the people they're connected to as they grow. So we're going to continue to build out our kids' ministry. We're going to continue to invest in our children. We're going to build relationships in a meaningful and heartfelt way with strangers, with familiar coworkers, with neighbors. And we're going to be real and tangible expressions of love that represent, or visible expressions of love that represent an invisible God. And we say, well, I don't know. How can I know God? I can't see him. Well, you can see how I love you.
Right.
You can see how I serve you. You can see how I invest in you. You can see how I care about you. And you can see through those actions who God is because that's how God feels about you to the nth degree. I'm poor at this. I'm not the best at this, but I'm giving my best effort. And I hope and I believe that if I give my best effort by investing in your life, by building into this relationship, that you will come to know and want and desire the ultimate love of Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to do this. We can do all the catchy flyers. We can do all these cool Facebook advertisements. And that stuff might help and it might be meaningful, but nothing is going to replace one-on-one authentic love and relationship.
Yeah.
That's what we all crave.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we all need. And it's ultimately why we're all here.
Yeah.
And so we're going to continue to do that. And most importantly, we're going to see more and more life change. We're going to see more and more meta, which is transformation. We're going to see greater things because that's what God does. He doesn't shrink back. He doesn't lower the bar. He raises the bar.
Yeah.
And as we meet his bar, as we jump to that standard, as we take steps forward in faith together, locking arms, saying, this is what God wants to do. This is the direction we're going. This is the way we're headed. We will see God advance our cause, advance his cause, and multiply our efforts in ways far greater than we could have imagined. And I want to close with one final passage that I think depicts or captures this ethos more than maybe any in all of Scripture. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, and I'm going to share this from the Message kind of paraphrase, Eugene Patterson's or Peterson's translation of the Scriptures, but it comes from Isaiah chapter 54. And this is how he translated this portion of Scripture or paraphrased this portion of Scripture. He says, clear lots of ground for your tents. This is God speaking. Clear lots of grounds for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short.
Wow.
Listen, this whole nations and abandoned cities, let me kind of apply it to what I think was happening. New York City has over 300 and something nationalities represented here.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't think God has called me to be a king or a dictator of any kind, I do believe God has called Meta Church to be a place that connects with people from different walks of life. In fact, every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that people from different nations are going to come and find healing and hope and restoration. The abandoned cities may not be a literal city, but a figurative space in our hearts that we've rejected, that we've abandoned because there's too much hurt, there's too much pain, there's too much desolation, there's too much vulnerability there. So we've walked away from it, we've shielded it off, and we said, I'm never going back to that place. And God's saying, no, I'm going to take you back there, and I'm going to rebuild it. I'm going to invest in it, and I'm going to support it, and I'm going to encourage it, and I'm going to nurture it, and I'm going to make it thrive because it was never intended to be dead. So don't hold back. Think big. Spread out. Don't be afraid. You won't be embarrassed, and you're not going to come up short. This is our encouragement, Metachurch. This is our mission. This is our anticipation. This is our expectation. This is our conviction for 2019. Let me pray for us.